You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this week's episode, we're talking about Harvey Milk.
So grab your Coors Light.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And what's new, Scooby-Doo? I feel like I just spent our pre-record session saying how tired and overworked I am. How's everybody else doing?
Oh my God. I am the same. I am in the same boat. I just feel like I am constantly behind. My to-do list is never ending.
Yes.
There are some days where I try and remember to eat.
Feel like happens.
LOL.
I haven't brushed my teeth in 2 days.
I haven't brushed them yet today. Thank you for the reminder. It is
everybody
new.
Brush your teeth when you're done listening to this recording. It is the first thing to go once we get stressed.
It's a bye-bye.
Yeah. Because the first thing I do when I wake up is I have my coffee. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to brush them just after having my coffee. So I'm like, I'll wait a second.
Yeah.
But then in the time that I'm waiting a second, everything blows up, and then it's 2 o'clock, and I'm like, or in this case, it's 2 days later, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Like, what have I done with myself?
What have I done?
Yeah. And you can't brush them before coffee because then your coffee tastes like
it payment. Tastes weird. You can't do
you
it.
Can't
and also,
do
I'm
it.
Tired. Like, I'm too tired to do the whole Like, no, thank you. Have to have the coffee first.
Absolutely. It is literally the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is turn the kettle on.
Yes, absolutely. Same. So anywho, with all of that said, I feel like this was our theme last week as well, because this week our topic is about something where there's a day.
Yeah.
It's like happened in this month. So we saw that and we thought, oh my God. What a great episode topic. This month, Harvey Milk Day falls in the month of May. So we thought, why not talk about Harvey Milk? So it's almost like it's a little biopic. A biopic.
It's a little biopic. Yeah, it's a biopic.
Yeah. that's not SCOTUS related.
No.
And I love that. I love our little biopics because I feel like I didn't learn about, this is going to sound crazy, but I obviously didn't learn about Harvey Milk in Texas public education.
Oh, I didn't learn about him in Ohio.
Yeah, my first introduction to him was the Sean Penn film.
Yes, me too.
Which he won the Academy Award for yes. portraying him.
Yeah.
That was my first time that I was like, this is a person that existed.
Yes, 100%. And I can't remember when that film came out, but I remember it was a very memorable film for me. And I remember just snippets of it and this guy's life. But I mean, I don't remember when it came out. Maybe I was 14 or 15, but it was the first time I had heard of the Castro and knew that there was such a thing as gay culture,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy. Wait, I kind of want to look up when this movie was made.
Oh my God. Look it up. I feel like I'm going to guess it was 2007.
You're so close. 2008.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like an early mid 2000s type of vibe.
Hold on. Then I was not 13. I was full ass 23 years old. So but that
which is 23
crazy.
Is the 13 of your 20s. Let me tell you.
But seriously, I would that's baby, me as baby gay being learning yeah. about things. And so that's so crazy to me that I was 23 when that movie came out, which also explains why I have such vivid memories of it.
Yeah.
I feel like I understand that moment now more of my life. Thank you for...
Oh my God. I'm glad that we made a breakthrough.
That was so crazy. I was like, why do you remember this film? And
why did it have an impact? Because you were young, wild, and gay.
Young, wild. I mean, yes. But I also didn't, I lived in the city for 4 years at that point. So I must have heard of a lot of that stuff. I just don't remember or don't have I didn't have the full picture of any kind of civil rights movement in
sure.
that world because
sure.
I like you said, wasn't taught about that in Ohio. So, yeah.
So all that to say, we're talking about Harvey Milk today in honor of Harvey Milk Day. And I'm excited. So yeah. Before we hop in, do you want to talk about today's Saoirse Ronan Sources?
The Saoirse Ronan Sources. Sometimes it's harder for me to say Ronan than it is
Saoirse.
Saoirse. Although I just fucked
that's
it up.
That's so... I don't know what to tell you, babe. To me, Saoirse is harder than the two. I think it's the alliteration of
it's
it.
It's the alliteration. Saoirse Ronan Saoirse. Yeah. So all this is coming from an article by Katie Dowd at FS Gate, San Francisco Gate, which is a local, I think, online publication. Maybe there's a print version of it, but I don't live in San Francisco. And her article is really great because it's all the stuff that happened when he was assassinated and then afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of impact.
Spoiler.
Spoiler. So, which I didn't remember from the film. I just remember
him being assassinated?
No, I have told no memory of that. I have no memory of the White Knight riots. Wild. I have no memory of that.
Yeah.
I just remember him speaking. So I don't, I was interesting. He was assassinated. Wow.
Yes.
Clearly that my early 20s is just a blur.
Sure. We're really pulling back memories. You're
really
recalling them.
Just absolutely gone.
Yeah.
So San Francisco Gate. And then a lot of stuff from the Milk Foundation, which is the foundation that, continues his work and legacy and, holds all mm-hmm. of his, information. And then some stuff from history.com.
Because we have to have it.
It's in the contract.
It's in our contract that we do not have with history.com.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's then swan dive into Harvey Milk by talking about his background. The background on Harvey Milk, for those of you who haven't heard of him, here we go. So these are coming from the Milk Foundation and history.com. Harvey Bernard Milk, which, first of all, Bernard, obsessed with that name.
Yeah.
I think it's an amazing name. I love every time I see the name Bernard. It feels just like, mwah, it's one of my favorites. So Harvey Bernard Milk was born on May 22nd, 1930 in Woodmere, New York. The second son of William and Minerva. Okay, Minerva.
Minerva Milk.
That's also a solid name.
I love that name.
The son of William and Minerva Milk, he came from a family with prominent ties to the community. His Lithuanian-born grandfather, Morris, owned Milk's Dry Goods, which became the largest department store on Long Island and had helped organize the area's first synagogue. Okay, go off, Morris. Go off.
Yep.
While in college at New York State College for Teachers, now State University of New York in Albany, where he studied math and history, Milk penned a popular weekly student newspaper column where he began questioning issues of diversity with a reflection on the lessons learned from the recently ended World War. Oh my God. Imagine like I guess that's like, it's like, what did we learn from a world war? Like, we don't have, us as our, where we are in our lives, don't have something like that to look to and be like, what did we learn from a global war?
Right. I feel like
where
the closest,
there were Allied and Axis forces.
Yes. I feel like the closest that we have maybe experienced is 9/11 and now the pandemic, but that just feels like something completely different.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It feels so, I mean, the Iraq war and war in Afghanistan have never felt like what I'm assuming World War II felt like, for many reasons.
Yeah, but like they were longer, but like people weren't going, I mean, people weren't going.
There's no draft.
There's no draft. There's no like, yeah, so.
But anyways, so Harvey Milk is like, I've got some thoughts after the recently closed World War. He graduated in 1951 and enlisted in the Navy. He attended Officer Candidate School in Newport, Rhode Island, and subsequently was based in San Diego, where he served as a diving instructor. Wow, love that. I guess you need those in the Navy.
They're helpful. They're helpful.
They're so waterbound. In 1955, he resigned at the rank of lieutenant junior grade after being officially questioned about his sexual orientation. Following his time in the Navy, Milk entered the civilian working world in New York as a public school teacher on Long Island, as a stock analyst in New York City, and as a production associate for Broadway musicals, including Jesus Christ Superstar and Hair.
I mean, I love it. He's the multi, wow. He's like the like ultimate multi-hyphenate. Like,
I know.
Fuck acting,
I was like,
singing and dancing.
School teacher, okay. Stock analyst, okay. Okay, okay. Production assistant. Go off.
Like, he's just all over. And I fucking
love it. I
love
it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. So we're going to talk about his activism and his politics and how he, the different elected offices that he campaigned for and served in and the causes that he championed and all that good stuff. So like the meaty chunk of his like adult life. So during the 1960s and early 70s, Milk became more actively involved in politics and advocacy as he demonstrated against the war in Vietnam. In late 1972, he moved to San Francisco, where he opened a camera store on Castro Street in the heart of the city's growing gay community. It quickly became a neighborhood center. Milk's sense of humor and theatricality made him a popular figure, and little more than a year after his arrival in the city, he declared his candidacy for the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. He lost that race, but emerged from the campaign as a force to be reckoned with in local politics. And I should say, this is all coming from the Milk Foundation. Yeah, so he's like...
Grassroots.
He's like, I'm here. I'm queer. I'm ready to like have beer.
Get on my
and,
local
yeah,
board
my,
of supervisors.
Yeah. Yes.
Dang.
Yeah. And I love that like he ran and he like he just keeps going. Like he runs and he doesn't win and he runs and he like he's just, you know, he's like, I've got my ideas and I've got causes and like, okay, you will like me enough.
Right, right. Eventually you're just gonna let me in.
Eventually
knock,
you're just
knock,
let
I'm
me
still
in.
Coming.
I'm still coming. So after some area merchants tried to prevent two gay men from opening a store, Milk and a few other business owners founded the Castro Village Association, a first in the nation organizing of predominantly LGBT businesses with Harvey Milk as the president. He organized the Castro Street Fair in 1974 to attract more customers to area businesses. and its success made the Castro Village Association an effective power base for gay merchants and a blueprint for other LGBT communities in the U.S.
So he's like, come on.
He's like, he's doing it. He's like basically like becoming, it's not quite a union, because I mean, but like it's kind of serving mm-hmm. the same purposes of like, this is how we protect ourselves. This is how we protect our people. And like, you know, it's across various industries because we're talking about different kinds of businesses. So like, but still, it's like, you know, he's creating this blueprint for other cities to then use.
Yeah.
Which is so smart. So smart.
It's so smart. I'm always in awe of the power of like profoundly effective local community organization and like a grassroots organizational effort. I mean, I feel like the only thing I can point to that's relatively relevant to us is like what Stacey Abrams did in Georgia. I mean, they're two different things, but like the power of getting super organized and super focused and seeing like, I mean, the impact that both of these things, which are completely different, had because of these individuals putting all of their eggs in the local community grassroots organization. Like the impact that it had is crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, it makes me so happy when people organize.
It's so good. So additionally, Harvey Milk forged an alliance with the Teamsters Union, a smart play, by supporting a boycott of Coors beer.
Go for the jugular.
Go for the jugular. And also,
go
fuck yes,
for Coors.
Please.
Heck yeah. Take it offline.
Oh my God. I fucking love. And the union returned the favor by promising to hire more gay drivers.
Hells yeah.
I love this.
Gay Coors drivers? That's fuck the greatest thing I've ever heard.
It's so good.
Absolutely.
It's so good. With his charisma, energy, and natural political skills, Milk was soon known as the mayor of Castro Street because he was like, this is what I want to do. Who can I partner with? Y'all. Yeah. We're striking. We're striking. Do
we're
you
striking.
Need help?
Sorry, okay. Coors.
Yes. Sorry,
I love
Coors.
It.
Yeah.
Sorry.
In 1975, he ran again for the combined San Francisco City County Supervisor seat and narrowly lost. By now, he was established as the leading political spokesman for the Castro's vibrant gay community. His close friend and ally, Mayor George Moscone, appointed him to the city's Board of Permit Appeals, making Milk the first openly gay city commissioner in the United States.
Amazing.
So great.
Amazing.
He's so great. But he keeps running for stuff. And in 1970,
of course he does. And as
of course
he
does. Why would you stop running for stuff? Like, he's building a name for himself and like, go off.
Go literally off, Harvey.
On January 9th, 1978, he was inaugurated as the San Francisco City County Supervisor. This was an important and symbolic victory for the LGBT community, as well as a personal triumph for Milk. His election, which he easily won, made national and international headlines.
I love, it's like, I feel like finally we have a victory.
Yeah.
At the ballot box.
Yeah.
After,
he's been putting in the work.
5-6 years of just running for things.
Yeah. Yeah, and like organizing it. And like supporting the community and all of that.
Never give up. If you lose, just simply try again.
Try again. Try again. He was a powerful advocate for strong, safe neighborhoods and pressured the mayor's administration to improve services for the Castro, such as library services and community policing. In addition, he spoke out on state and national issues of interest to LGBT people, women, racial and ethnic minorities, and other marginalized communities.
I mean, lift everybody else up. That's I love it. I love to see it. So one of these national issues that Harvey Milk helped address was the California ballot initiative Proposition 6, which would have mandated the firing of gay teachers in state public schools, if you can believe it. State Senator John Briggs, seeking to marshal anti-gay sentiment and an agenda of hate and diminishment for political gain, spearheaded this Proposition 6 initiative, which was to fire gay teachers in public schools.
It became known as the Briggs Initiative.
With strong, effective opposition from Milk and others, it was defeated at a time when other political attacks on gay people were being successfully waged around the U.S. So Harvey Milk was like, absolutely not. Is this happening here? And good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
demonstrating his penchant for courting publicity, Milk co-sponsored a, quote, pooper scooper, end quote, ordinance that required dog owners to clean up after their pets.
Yes, yes.
You have to clean up after your pets.
Pick up your dog's poop. It is part
especially
of being a dog owner.
Especially in a city, in a metropolis.
Yes.
Like San Francisco.
Yes.
Come on. If you don't pick up after your dog's poop, you're a piece of shit. Sorry.
Pick up the poop. Pick up the poop.
As supervisor, he also dove into more personal matters by spearheading a bill to ban discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations based on sexual orientation, one of the nation's strongest gay rights measures to date. The ordinance was passed with only one dissenting vote, that of Supervisor Dan White, and Mayor Moscone signed the measure into law on March 21st, 1978. I mean, in the mid-70s, he's getting anti-LGBTQ discrimination legislation passed.
Yep, yep.
Passed.
As, like, the AIDS crisis is starting to ramp up.
As,
like,
yes, exactly right. Following California State Senator John Briggs' introduction of Proposition 6 and, or the Briggs measure or whatever it was called.
The Briggs Initiative,
Briggs Initiative, there we go. Which sought to ban gay teachers and anyone supporting gay rights from working in California schools, Milk spent much of the summer and fall of 1978 campaigning against that. He drew the support of several political luminaries, including President James Earl Carter Jr.
Yes.
And former California Governor Ronald Reagan.
What I know,
dynamic
right?
Dynamic trio.
So
that was.
Awesome.
Go off. And Prop 6, or the Briggs Initiative, was soundly defeated by more than 1 million votes in November.
That's amazing. You couldn't get...
That is amazing.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that it's like, it's bipartisan. Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan were like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it's a pretty wild trio when you sort of step back and take a look at them. It's like.
Carter, woof. Reagan, and Harvey Milk.
And Harvey Milk walk into a bar. Like. It's crazy.
And support gay rights. That's the end of the joke.
Unfortunate that Reagan could not, you know, step up when the AIDS crisis was unfolding. I feel like
yes, unfortunate. Eventually to failed say us all. The least. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's like his, you know, his political and his political trajectory, his activism, all the stuff that he was fighting for. And not to say that, like, you know, that is definitely the most interesting part of his history. His death and what happened afterwards, I feel like, is just as much known for that, just because of what happened in the aftermath. But it's, but yeah, so it's, he is an activist, but then also his death was just tragic and really shook the city of San Francisco. So Harvey Milk was assassinated on November 27th, 1978 by a disgruntled former city supervisor named Dan White. Do we remember? We just talked about him. He was like the lone dissenting vote.
We literally just talked about him.
Yeah.
He was crazy.
Crazy. He was the lone dissenting vote. Dan White assassinated Harvey Milk and also Mayor George Moscone. He snuck into City Hall through a basement window, avoiding metal detectors at the official entrances, went to Moscone's office, killed him, and then walked down the hall to kill Milk. And this is all coming from the Milk Foundation. So he's like subverting security and just walks in and
it's crazy to me. I don't remember. I mean, I think I did watch the film when I was in my teens, unlike you who watched it in your 20s. So I obviously didn't remember the details of who assassinated Harvey Milk. Also, like, you know, should we even memorialize that person in any way, shape, or form? No, but it's interesting to me as far as when we look at figures who, the people that we've looked at who were figures that had been assassinated or attempted assassinations, it's interesting to me that this was like a colleague, not some crazy person like thinking that Jodie Foster would notice them.
Right.
Or like low-key already a criminal type. This was like a white-collar elected official.
Who like worked with them, who disagreed and was like, I don't like gays so much, I'm going to kill the mayor and the guy.
I'm gonna kill the mayor.
Yes, the mayor.
Like, I think that also gets, I feel like it doesn't get highlighted enough. It's like, it's not just Harvey Milk who was assassinated on this day, but the full ass mayor of San Francisco. Not that like one is more important than the other, but like, that's two crazy assassinations to happen.
Crazy.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Oof.
By a guy who snuck in. He snuck in. I just find it, that's,
there's, it's the whole thing is insane. The whole thing is
insane. So that night, a crowd of thousands spontaneously came together on Castro Street and marched to City Hall in a silent candlelight vigil. Given the hatred directed at gay people in general and at Milk in particular, he had received daily death threats. He was aware of the likelihood that he may well be assassinated. Which would be wild to live with that kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
Of, like, I can't even, the fact that there's somebody out there who's like, I would like to kill you. Like, just, and not just one, like, and probably these death threats were not, I mean, maybe they were, who knows, but like, these death threats probably were not coming from this guy. Like, there are multiple people out there.
I mean,
there
I don't think
like,
he ever looked over at Harvey on a council meeting and was like, I want to kill you, actually.
Actually, I would like, oh. Yeah, I mean,
actually, I'm so excited to kill you at some point. And this is also like before the internet. So we hear of death threats all the time by trolls and, you know, people online who like mask their identities to say these hateful things. This is, his death threats were probably letters
that like, were delivered.
Somebody sat down at a desk with a pen and was like, "Dear Harvey Milk, I wish you were dead, and I also wish that I did it. And in fact, I might actually do it." Then put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, put it through the U.S. postal system to arrive at his office. Like, it's a different type of death threat.
It's a, yeah. It's, It's crazy. And to live with that level of danger and animosity and just to like keep doing what you're doing and fighting for the things that you think are right is just like admirable. And I can't imagine living under that kind of stress.
Yeah.
But because he was getting all these death threats and was aware of the likelihood that he could be assassinated, he recorded several versions of his will, quote, to be read in the event of my assassination.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the tapes contained the now famous statement, quote, if a bullet should enter my brain, let that bullet destroy every closet door, close quote.
Oh,
which
man.
Is like, yeah, you know, like a reference to like gay people being in the closet and, you know, not being out. And so he's hoping that if he is assassinated, that like shatters that kind of oppression through the metaphor of the closet door.
Right.
His nephew, Stuart Milk, a teenager at the time and close with his uncle, came out afterwards, along with countless others across the nation on the day that his uncle was killed. Shortly after Milk's death, people marching for gay rights in Washington, D.C. chanted Harvey Milk lives. So, like, it's spanning the country, and people who support him and support the gay community were coming out in support of him and what he was fighting for.
Yeah.
This is where, I mean, it's already crazy. This is where you, like, it gets a little bit, like, Hollywood-level crazy. So Dan White, Milk's assassin, was acquitted of murder charges. Like, can you fucking believe? Fucking believe. He killed the mayor. And was
this
given...
He killed two people.
He killed two people, and they were like, no, it's okay. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
He was given a mild sentence for manslaughter, partly...
Okay.
Partly as a result of what became known as the Twinkie defense.
I am not even interested in what this is going to be, but I know you're about to tell me.
This is that same bullshit where, like, that kid got off for rape or murder or something somewhere because his defense attorneys were like, he just is too rich to understand consequences.
Oh, sure. Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes, I forget that. That makes you unable to differentiate between a violent crime and other things.
And
you know,
not committing between violent crime and not committing violent crime.
And not committing violent crimes.
Being too rich to understand the difference is absolutely okay.
It is. Let me put myself in his shoes. I can see how he wouldn't quite grasp that murdering, I would assume, premeditated.
He walked in with
two
a gun.
People.
He snuck in. How
he
is that not?
It was of course, it was premeditated. This is premeditated. It's not like he was fighting with the mayor and Harvey Milk, and then was like, you know what? Bang bang.
Right.
He
was like, I have to sneak in past the metal detectors
because I
so
have
that I
a
can
gun.
Actually go and kill them. Because otherwise, if I went in the normal way, I would be stopped because I have a metal gun
weapon. Yes,
it's insane.
Okay, lay on the Twinkie defense for me.
Oh my God.
So interested.
It's absolutely insane. His attorney claimed that White had eaten too much junk food on the day of the killings and thus could not be held accountable for his crimes. This is coming from Milk Foundation. Like, this is not like TMZ reporting this out. This is like...
I haven't had anything green in like 3 weeks, have yet to kill somebody. Have yet to do it. To premeditate.
Right.
And then murder. No, I'm sorry. Not one person, but actually
two people. Do you know what, Lizzie? You know what? You go right ahead. All of the junk food that you've had, apparently you could rob a bank.
I could kill somebody.
You could kill
people. I could go for the big guns.
Just hold your bag of Cheetos. That's all you need.
My doctor said that my cholesterol levels were high and I needed to stop eating red meat and cheese, which I think I could use in the court of law.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This
that
is
a valid,
insane.
This is a valid defense. They also claimed, White's defense attorneys also claimed that, quote, the year prior he had been suffering from diminished mental capacity and that he was briefly out of his mind because of crippling depression. That's coming from San Francisco Gate. So, like,
so sorry.
Okay, he's depressed. You need Twinkies. I'm sorry. Are you, like, what 12-year-old girl is not doing the same? And they are not murdering people.
On paper, Dan White and I are currently exactly the same, and yet only one of us has committed murder.
Right.
Twice. Premeditated.
Twice. Snuck in.
And it's not me.
With a gun. And it's not you.
With a gun. This is insane.
Insane. He was sentenced to, so this is back to being from the Milk Foundation. He was sentenced to less than 8 years in prison on May 21st, 1979, the day before what would have been Milk's 49th birthday, igniting what came to be known as the White Night Riots. So like,
yeah,
they're claiming he's depressed and he's been eating too many Twinkies, which is what led him to kill these two people.
Sure.
Not his bigotry. Not cold-blooded murder, not whatever you want to, whatever. And so, of course, people were like, the fuck?
OMG. If this would, oh my God, I would have. Oh,
yeah.
I'm so angry, and this is 40 plus years ago at this point.
Yeah. And there were obviously riots. And so, yes. And they were called the White Night Riots. And so Lizzie's going to tell us about the White Night Riots.
I sure am. Honestly, if somebody today was like, we're going to riot against this decision, I'd be like, let's go. That's how worked up I am about it. So let's talk about the White Night Riots. Enraged citizens, you could say, stormed City Hall and rows of police cars were set on fire. The city suffered property damage and police officers retaliated by raiding Castro Street, vandalizing gay businesses, and beating people in the street. So we just are having a great time with this. Inside City Hall, Mayor Dianne Feinstein, who had found Milk's body the previous November, was absorbing the news. Sorry, let's pause there.
I know. I read that and I was like, Holy shit. GD phone.
That's insane. This woman has, she's been around for so many crazy events. So obviously she's been around in what we just said, where she was the person who discovered Harvey Milk's body. She also was the mayor at the time when the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, was like on a rampage. Right.
Uh-huh.
And she like told the press information that the police were trying to keep secret so that they could, you know, sometimes the police don't divulge certain information so they can tie people to the crime that they don't know that they know. And she like divulged all of the police secrets in a press conference and the police were like, oh my God. So she was around for that.
Oh my God,
she's
that's
still
crazy.
Fully a senator of California in the Senate leadership. This is crazy.
That's so
that this
nuts.
Woman has seen so much.
I feel like we need to do a biopic on her, and it might be a long one.
It might be. I mean, dang, I didn't know that she was the one who found Harvey Milk, for God's sakes.
I had no idea. That's so insane. I mean, like,
that's insane.
I like between like reading about the Twinkie defense when I was researching this and that nugget of information, I was like, how do I not remember this film?
A lot of curveballs.
There's so many curveballs.
Yeah.
And like, you do you see what I mean? Like, this is where like the Hollywood version of his, of like his legacy existence, whatever starts. Like, if you wrote this, knowing what we, like back then, Dianne Feinstein wasn't like Dianne Feinstein, but like, it's just crazy.
It's so crazy. Yeah. So, all right, back to the notes. The riots are happening. Dianne Feinstein is mayor. She's the mayor while these riots are happening. She was met at her office by then fiancé Richard Blum, and the pair went back to her Pacific Heights home for dinner around 6. Soon she heard there was unrest at Civic Center, and at 8:30 p.m., Feinstein and Blum were driven back to City Hall. These are coming, these next notes are coming from that San Francisco Gate article by Katie Dowd. Thousands of protesters were already gathered outside. They were smashing windows, ripping pieces off the government buildings, screaming, quote, kill Dan White, end quote. When police moved in with nightclubs, the violence escalated. Protesters began setting cop cars on fire. A group of police officers went to the gay bar, the Elephant Walk, and started destroying property in retaliation. Patrons were assaulted, and it wasn't until the police chief arrived that the rioting ended. So basically, the civilians rioted. Then I would say the cops rioted. Mm-hmm. And then the police chief comes in and says, I'm so sorry. This is done now.
Yeah.
By the night's end, dozens of police and over 100 civilians were injured. A civil grand jury later convened, found insufficient evidence to indict anyone for the riots. Shocking. White, Dan White, the murderer and assassin of Harvey Milk, would end up serving 5 of his 7-year sentence. Shortly after he was paroled in 1984, he returned to San Francisco against the advice of pretty much everybody. And then 1 year later, he killed himself. I mean, what a crazy end to this whole thing.
Crazy.
Absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
And of course, like now, I think we see the effects of Harvey Milk's initial organizing efforts. I truly don't think that the LGBT community would be where it is now as far as the leaps and bounds that have been done even since his death if it wasn't for the stuff that he did prior to it and his activism.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about laying the ground. I mean, I feel like he laid the foundation and the groundwork for the grassroots, like civil rights movement, specifically for the gay community.
Yeah.
That has since been built upon and gotten to the, I mean, I feel like if Harvey Milk was here today, he'd be like, this is crazy. You know, all of the things that we've achieved, that we have, you know, legalized gay marriage.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So many anti-discrimination laws have been passed on a
federal level. And have been held up in court. Yeah.
Held up in court.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, a really, really inspiring figure. I wish that he was taught more regularly because I think absolutely a civil rights icon,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that does get left out, I feel, a lot, probably because he is gay or was gay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, like,
if I had to pinpoint a reason.
Just to put my finger on it, I would say it was because, yeah, I 100%. Like, I mean, we learned about, like, other civil rights leaders in school, but, like, the idea that somebody would tell us about Harvey Milk back in the 90s.
No.
Because also then you would have to explain, like, that, like, you would have to stand up for him and what he was fighting for in order for that to even make sense to do, because
yeah,
like, you can't be like, I mean, you know, whatever, like, just bring him up and then be like, and he was fighting for the wrong thing. Like, I mean, you could do that,
yeah.
But I just feel like the best thing to do then is to, like, leave it alone and not talk about him at all if you really think that what he was fighting for was bullshit.
Right. Well, and also I feel like if you're going to teach Harvey Milk, you're probably going to have to mention that he was assassinated and that his murderer was given 5 years in prison for manslaughter after killing 2 people. And then you'd have to be like, oh, why was that? Oh, I don't know. Probably because the jury was very homophobic and saw justification in some twisted way.
Yeah.
Or at least was willing to be like, oh yeah, tweaking events. Perfect. A way for me to say, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah.
Give him a little bit, you know, obviously don't let him off. But like
he did something bad. He hurt 2 people.
Yeah, he should go to jail. But like the rest of his life, I mean, I don't know. That seems crazy.
That seems crazy. I mean, they were gay.
They were. Or was the mayor
Milk
gay or no?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Like Milk was gay.
I don't
gay,
think the mayor was
like,
gay, but yeah. But Harvey Milk was gay.
But like, and in that situation, like supporting something like that is just as bad as being gay. That's why like the Briggs Initiative was like no gay teachers and no teachers who support the gays.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully as time continues to go on and as we push more and more to be a more inclusive country that protects all of the people, regardless of literally any identifiers, I would say, we can talk more openly about the work of people like Harvey Milk in all areas of the country.
Yeah.
And that's my final thought
on
Harvey Milk. And that is the end of our episode.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. Great, great I don't know. Great topic. I love it. And happy Harvey Milk Day.
Happy Harvey Milk Day. Yeah.
Who is celebrating. It's coming up. So celebrate however you want to. But in the meantime, we love you guys so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. You can rate us. You can review us. You can subscribe to us. We love you so, so much. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.